Greetings, everyone. This is Fred Coulter. Welcome to Church at Home. Church at Home is sponsored by the Christian Biblical Church of God. We are dedicated to restoring original Christianity for today. Human beings always want to do better or be better or gain an advantage over someone else, to be smarter, to be faster, to be stronger, to be more long-lived, to be able to be superior to other human beings. Why do humans think this way? Well, there are two reasons. Number one, God created us incomplete. He created us so that we would be His workmanship, so that we would be able to become like God, to be His sons and His daughters. And that's the whole story of what's in the Bible. Now, back here in Ecclesiastes 3, we find something very interesting. We'll also see something interesting concerning that this is not the first time that men have thought about doing these things. No. We are going to learn that, as a matter of fact, all of what is called transhumanism, which transhumanism is to improve by modern technology, so-called, and make humans better, so that we are now post-humans. And while we reject Christianity, on the other hand, and we now have a post-Christian world, Christianity without God. And in both cases, men want to do these things while rejecting God. So here's the conundrum. Men understand they can improve. Yes, we have abilities to improve. Men understand that we are temporary. Yes, God made us that way. But men think that they have the way to do it. Now, let's talk about human beings for just a minute from the point of view of how God made us. None of the other creatures on the earth, now we're not talking about God the Father and Jesus Christ or the angels, and remember, the angels are into two camps. The righteous angels that obey and serve God and carry out His will. Then you have the evil angels that rebelled with Satan the devil. And when he rebelled, he took a third of the angels with him, and they became demons. So we have God as superior, angels who are underneath that, and beneath the angels are the evil angels that rebelled. And they didn't want to do the will of God. Now, human beings are the same way. But there's one factor that God has put into human beings, and that is the ability to think beyond themselves. Let me just give you an example. Though you know you were born on such and such a date, and it's right there in your driver's license if you have one, or identity card or passport, the date you were born. Let me ask you a question. Can you think of a time when you didn't exist? No, you can't. Now, everyone knows sometime in the future, he or she's going to die. But can you think of a time when you won't be here? No. Let's ask another question. As you look at human beings, why is it that they are what is called religious? That is, they believe in God or gods. Those who believe in the true God worship the true God. Those who believe in anything other, believing in gods and human beings and superhumans, they're still religious. And everyone thinks about the past and the future. Why is that? Very few ask the question, what is the future that God shows? So here's why. Let's come to Ecclesiastes 3 and verse 11. He has also set eternity in their heart. that is, in human hearts, so that no man can find out the work that God makes from the beginning to the end, that is, unless he reveals it. But the point is, now some translations have it, God set the world in the heart of man. No, he gave us a mind because we have the spirit in man, which we've covered in on other segments, which gives us intellect, which gives us the knowledge on how to do things that men do, which means that we can educate, we can learn, we can grasp, we can build, we can put together, and all of these things come from our minds and the spirit of man which is in us. Now, in order to understand the things of God, the Bible shows we need the Spirit of God. Now, certain things of basic understanding, the Spirit of God is there to lead us if we really want to follow it, such as the Ten Commandments and the basic things in the Proverbs. These tell us right and wrong, good and evil, what to do, what not to do. Then contact with God beyond that is another entirely different process. But human beings who reject God, then they seek other powers. And Satan is right there. He is called the God of this world. He appears as an angel of light. He says, I have a better way. And yet it always ends in destruction. Now we will see how that began with Adam and Eve in a little bit. But let's come to a very interesting statement here in the book of Matthew. Let's come to Matthew 24. It's talking about the prophecies of the end time. And it's talking about how human life would be at the end. But here is a very important thing. Jesus said he was the first and the last, the beginning and the ending. So in order to understand the end and what's happening today, you must also understand the beginning. And sometimes the knowledge of these things are what you might say hidden in plain sight. When we come to something in the Bible, we've got to ask some questions and see what it tells us so we can have the understanding. Did God ever know that human beings were going to do this with transhumanism? Answer is yes. Let's read it. Matthew 24 and verse 37. Now as it was in the days of Noah, so shall it also be at the coming of the Son of Man. How was it in the days of Noah? Well, many people who don't read the Old Testament don't even have a clue. Those who don't have the New Testament don't understand what's going on either. So you need the both of them with the unity of Scripture to understand what's going on. God is not surprised by the fact of transhumanism. Now here's what it tells us. It doesn't tell us everything. But let's read it. For as in the days that were before the flood, they were eating and drinking, marrying and giving in marriage until the day that Noah entered the ark. They were warned all the time the flood was coming. Why did God send the flood? Why did God destroy all human life except Noah and his family? We can answer the question by looking at today and seeing what they're doing today, and we will see that the understanding of that is right in the context of Genesis 6. Now, let's come to Luke 17. Let's see how he explained it there, because he talks about the days of Noah, and then he adds in it the days of Sodom and Gomorrah. So let's read that. This also tells us what it was like then, what it is now. You see, the book of Ecclesiastes says, that which has been is that which shall be, and there is nothing new under the sun. So this gives us an understanding from these scriptures, which then we will find out what they're doing today, and then we will go back and see what it says there in Genesis, the 6th chapter, in Genesis 11. All right, let's pick it up here. Luke 17, verse 26. Now as it was in the days of Noah, so shall it also be in the days of the Son of Man, that is his coming. They were eating, they were drinking, they were marrying, they were being given in marriage until the day that Noah entered into the ark and the flood came and destroyed them all. In the same way, the days of Sodom and Gomorrah. They were eating, they were drinking, they were buying, they were selling, they were planting, they were building. And on the day that went out of Sodom, it rained fire and sulfur from heaven and destroyed them all. This is how it shall be in the day that the Son of Man is revealed. Now we're entering those days. Let's see combined what all of this tells us. So we look at what is happening today. This tells us that's exactly what was happening back in the days of Noah. So let's read about transhumanism. And let's see, this is really nothing new. And this has been a program of Satan the devil, as we will see, from the beginning. Now, what is transhumanism? It is an intellectual and cultural movement that affirms the possibility and desirability of fundamentally transforming the human condition by developing and making widely available technologies to eliminate aging and to greatly enhance human intellect, physical, and psychological capacities. Isn't that a wonderful thing to do? See, because Satan is now pulling upon the desire, which then becomes lust, of human beings to make themselves better. Now, God made us to be made better, but his way. So Satan, the devil, the god of this world, says, you can do it without God, my way. So let's have technology, let's have research, let's apply the best mind. Transhumanist thinkers study the potential effects and dangers of emerging technologies that could overcome fundamental human limitations, as well as study the ethical matters involved in developing and using such technologies. They predict that human beings may eventually be able to transform themselves into beings with such greatly expanded ability as to merit the label post-human. Transhumanism is therefore viewed as a subset of philosophical post-humanism. We're going to make ourselves so great that this old model of human existence is going to be obsolete. Now that's Satan speaking. We'll talk about God's plan, which is far better, because God's plan starts with what do you need first to be improved? What do you need next so that you can transcend the limitations of human existence? And so all the secrets are right in the Bible, the very book that these intellectual fools have rejected, as we read there in Romans, the first chapter. Let's read what they're going to do. Transhumanists support the emergence and convergence of technologies such as nanotechnology, biotechnology, information technology, and cognitive science, and hypothetical future technologies such as simulated realities, artificial intelligence, superintelligence, mind uploading, chemical brain preservation, and cryonics. They believe that humans can and should use these technologies to become more than human. And since that's a human desire that God put there to be rightly used, Satan comes along and says, you reject God. I'll show you how to do it. I will show you how to be like God. Now remember, Jesus said, now as it was in the days of Noah, so shall it also be at the coming of the Son of Man. So we can look at the technologies and things that we have today, and we can know from that statement of Jesus, That's what they had before the flood. Let's go on here. They therefore support the recognition and or protection of cognitive liberty, morphological freedom, and procreative liberty as civil liberties, so as to guarantee individuals the choice of using human enhancement technologies on themselves and on their children. Some speculate that human enhancement technologies and other emerging technologies may facilitate more radical human enhancement no later than the midpoint of the 21st century. Some say 2020. Some say earlier than that. Raymond Kurzweil says 2030. And he's trying to do everything he can to enhance himself, to preserve his life. And if you read what he did, there was a time in his life that he thought, well, he's going to preserve himself as long as he can. And he took over 300 supplements and vitamins every single day and had intravenous injections in him so that he could prolong his youth, so he could come to the point that he would be one of the first ones to receive immortality. And he wrote of that in his book, Singularity is Near. So do a Google search on Raymond Kurzweil. I think you will find it very, very interesting. Now, let's come to a time just after the flood of the Tower of Babel. Because Noah was still alive at that time, let's come to Genesis, the 11th chapter. Let's see what God said here, and again, we're going to gain some knowledge and understanding from this and be able to apply it so we can understand what's going on in the world today. They came to a place of Shinar, and they said, we're going to build a tower to heaven. Well, some even think that may have been a space program. They've also uncovered artifacts which show jet planes. But in a book by Nuremberg called The Secret of Lost Races, he even shows that scientists realize they had atomic energy and atomic bombs shortly after the flood. Just like it says there in Ecclesiastes, there's nothing new under the sun. Let's see what happened here. They were going to build this tower. And IBM boasts in their advertisements, what they started at Babel will finish. What do they mean by that? Well, that's certainly not inspired of God. Let's read what happened. God came down to see it. Verse 6, and the Lord said, behold, the people are one, and they have one language, and this is only the beginning of what they will do. Now nothing which they have imagined to do will be restrained from them. I want you to think about that statement there. Nothing which they have imagined to do will be restrained from them. So given enough time, given enough scientific investigation, given the ability to look at the keys of life, nothing would be restrained from them. So the question is, as we look at what's going on in the world today, this also answers the question, can man come close to the point of making himself immortal? Now it says here, now nothing which they have imagined to do will be restrained from them. That's why when it says, back in Romans, the first chapter, in their vain imaginations, they reject God while calling themselves the wise ones, they became fools. Now let's examine how transhumanism began and where it began and who was the author behind it. Who was the one that set men up to do this? Was it God? Or was it Satan? It actually began with Adam and Eve. Now, if you want perfect human beings, as far as being perfect in the flesh, handmade, created by God, both man and woman, man from the dust of the earth, woman from one of his ribs, with a built-in language all ready to go, God right there with them, God giving them instructions as to what to do. What is human life about? Why did I make you? Where are you going? What are you going to do? So let's come back here to Genesis, the first chapter. Let's talk about how God put capabilities in mankind. Genesis 1 and verse 26. And God said, let us make man in our image after our likeness, and let them have dominion over the fish of the sea, over the fowl of heaven, over the livestock, and over all the earth, and over every creeping thing that crawls upon the earth. And God created man in his own image, and the image of God created he him, created he them, male and female. God made us in his image and in his likeness. And for what purpose? Now, we are incomplete. God deliberately made us incomplete, though very capable. Because his plan is to transform us into being his very sons and daughters, so that we become after the God kind, God's way. And so God set before Adam and Eve the choice. These choices are represented by two trees. The tree of life. And of course, that would be the way to eternal life, which is God's way. And the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, which then would be man's choices, man's way, and as we will see, under the influence of Satan the devil. The tree of life would be under the influence and direction of God. The tree of the knowledge of good and evil would be man living under the influence and direction of Satan the devil, who is called the god of this world. So God gave them instruction. He put them in the Garden of Eden. He told them they could eat of every tree of the garden except the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. And he told them, in the day that you eat thereof in dying, you shall surely die. So God put them in the Garden of Eden. And guess what? God lived in the Garden of Eden with them. God appeared to them much like a human being. Could we say, in the eyes of man and woman, looking at God, not in his glorified form, because no one can look upon God in his glorified form and live, but as he appeared as a human being. And God explained to them his plan. And God let them know that one day they could become like him. Well, as they looked at themselves and they looked at God, God did not appear to them in his glorified form, so it appeared that to become like God was just another step. Now, God gave them a language. He certainly taught them. He gave them his laws and commandments. They understood those certain things. But then, God also gave them free will. Just like everyone else, God sets before every human being life and death, blessing and cursing. We have to choose life and loving God, or choose death and cursing. And then we know the wages of sin is death. Now, in the next segment, we're going to see what happened to Adam and Eve, so we can answer the question, how did their civilization turn out? And how far did they go toward making themselves like God under Satan's direction? So once again, thank you for inviting me into your home. And this is Fred Calder saying, be sure and visit our other website, CBCG, where we have hundreds of sermons and articles and things you can download there. So until next time, so long, everyone.